You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 18th of September 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. And it's the end of another week. It's getting closer to the end of the year, and it's the weekend tomorrow. And you know what that means? It means we have Grandpa Lampshade with us today. Grandpa, good afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
Doing all right, Sven. I'm sitting here, you know, reflecting on all this progress. I mean, things are getting better every day, thinking about the progress we're making. Back in the day, I was thinking about how way back in the day, you know, the British Royal Navy was just this ragtag little group of boats that everybody laughed at. But that was before diversity and inclusion. And now they're the mighty Navy feared by the entire world that nobody can oppose on the sea. This is some real progress we've got going.
Well, you talk about progress, but as they say, there's always more to do. There is always more to do. And the Navy seems to be getting on the diversity bandwagon, as you say. The Ministry of Defence has come under fire for having more diversity and equality officers than the Royal Navy has warships. Because, of course, this is what you need, isn't it? You know, when you go to war, you need a diversity and equality officer. You don't actually need weapons or missiles or warships. You need blacks, gays and women getting on at you, that you need to hire more blacks, gays and women, because that seems to be all these diversity and equality officers actually do. Apparently they're just change agents. They're in the business of just pushing for more diversity. They report to the managing director, and that's about it. I couldn't actually find anything else that they do, but apparently they are very, very, very important. The figures emerged yesterday after Veterans Minister Johnny Mercer told Parliament that there were 44 civil servants in the ministry and its executive agencies who had diversity and equality in their job title. And in comparison, the Royal Navy possesses only 13 frigates, 6 destroyers, 2 aircraft carriers, and 11 submarines, a total of 32. Well, I bet you don't know how many diversity and equality officers you've got over there, Grandpa, in America. I tell you, that's what you need, is diversity and equality officers if you want to win the war. What do you make of this?
Well, they always tell us that all of this diversity makes us stronger, makes things better, but they never actually seem to give us a metric where we can measure that success. I know the U.S. Navy's busy, you know, running into cargo ships and being unable to do basic things. So obviously we need more diversity. I was thinking about how back when they did the Libya fiasco and they started launching, you know, they always have the cameras set up and show these impressive missile launches from sea bombarding the country. And I remember the British ships ran out of missiles like the first night. They just ran out of missiles. They maybe could have loaded up and fired diversity and equality officers, because that would have probably done more damage to any country than actual missiles. They could have just dropped them in there. You all need some more diversity and inclusion officers. These are made up jobs. Let's be honest. We know these are made up jobs that don't have anything to do with the role that the Navy or any other of these agencies is supposed to be carrying out. It's once again so symbolic of a collapsing society where nothing works anymore, and you just have people running around doing made up jobs that everybody is told are very, very important, but nobody can actually say exactly it is that they do, or there's no measurable way to tell, no metric where you can judge for yourselves if they're being effective or if they're making things better. We're just told that they're making things better while they draw a nice, comfortable salary.
Well, it was probably the diversity quota hires that were actually responsible for the fact that the British Navy actually ran out of missiles when they were at Libya. Well, the details emerged in a question from Neil O'Brien, the Conservative MP for Harborough in Leicestershire. Despite its abundance of equality officers, the ministry is actually looking to recruit a diversity and inclusion director on a £110,000 annual salary. The sum is more than that earned by an army colonel who commands a battalion of 800 soldiers. If I was in the British Army, I would be really crestfallen at that, thinking, you know, they really don't value me very much, do they? You know, especially if you're an army colonel and you're commanding 800 soldiers and you don't get as much wages as the diversity and inclusion director. And how does the diversity and inclusion differ from diversity and equality officer? I mean, what are these jobs? What is inclusion? What do they mean by inclusion? Making everybody feel at home, making all the different ethnic minorities, sexual minorities, gender minorities, making them all feel at home in the army. The army are supposed to be tough guys. They're supposed to be able to exist out in a field in cold weather or in the middle of the desert with nothing but a trowel and a bucket to survive on for a month. They're not supposed to be all looked after and fluffy and made to feel included. They're supposed to be tough men. I just despair of the British Army grandpa. I know the American one isn't much better, but what do you make of this?
Well, and you can't leave women out of that equation either, because they can't do any of those things. And that makes them feel not included. You know, if you say, well, we're going to go out and do an exercise where we're going to go out into the bush and we're going to give you this knife and a pistol and a canteen and, you know, a little survival kit, and y'all got to survive for 2 weeks. And women are like, yeah, no, can't do that. And they don't feel included, which is a real problem, you know, because of equality. You got to be, you know, we have to pretend. All these things are they just come up with it. And it's all centered around this lie that everybody's exactly the same. Women are exactly the same as men. It's observably not true, but that's the lie. And so they have to build all of this other stuff to try to protect this lie. We can't dump a bunch of women off into the bush and tell them to survive for a week with just, you know, a knife and maybe a book of matches, since it's not realistic. So they come up with these made up positions to give these women and these other people. And so they can pretend like, yes, they're contributing this great thing. And of course, they're going to try to build this, you know, bigger bureaucracy around them, and it increases their power. And you just get more of it. It's kind of like the same thing you see here in America with these corporations, because I was kind of explaining this to someone the other day. I said, what happens, the way it starts is you have this big company, you have this corporation, and they hire these people. They hire some woman or some minority, whatever, that has, you know, an ethnic or gender studies degree, and they try to put them to work doing something, and they find out shortly that this person is absolutely worthless, but they got to have the diversity because the government says they have to have this diversity. And so they start shuffling them around, trying to find some place where they can do something, or at least not screw everything up. And what happens is they wind up making their way into human resources. And once they're there, they embed themselves and they start hiring other people just like them. And before you know it, you have all these worthless people at this corporation, and you wind up with these corporations that apparently forget that they're supposed to be in the job of making money. That all becomes secondary to the social justice narrative. And it's much the same way in the military. They wind up with all of these different people and these women, and they have, you know, they can't do any of the actual like military stuff. So they have to make up a job for them so they can say, oh, look, we have this many women, we have this many ethnic minorities, and look at what a wonderful job they're doing. But they can't actually do the job that, you know, the service requires. So they make up these jobs. And once they get ensconced in these positions and build a little power, they build up a bigger little army around them. And they build their bureaucracy. And now you wind up with this whole mammoth thing where you have all these inclusion and diversity people and no ships in what once was the most feared Navy on the planet.
We did. We used to have a huge Navy. We used to rule the sea, and now we rule diversity and inclusion. And where do we get this idea from that diversity is a strength? I was always taught that it's just the weakest link of a chain makes the whole chain as weak as that link. So if you think, well, let's have some diverse chain links here. We've got some weak ones, we've got some strong ones. We'll put them all together, And that chain is only going to be as strong as that one weakest link. That is all diversity is. It means that it brings everything down to the lowest common denominator. Richard Kemp, the former commander of British forces in Afghanistan, has criticized the emphasis on inclusion in the armed forces. He told the Sunday Express, "There are always bad apples and racist incidents can never be tolerated, but in my experience, the British Army is less racist than society at large." He's quite right, isn't he? If they have a diversity and inclusion officer, I mean, how many businesses have diversity and inclusion officers, go out of their way to have diversity quotas? They don't all do that. The civil society organizations, they do, and the army does. So how can the army be accused of being racist when it makes adverts up to try and appeal to Muslims and to get more ethnic minorities to join? I mean, whenever we see the army on the television, whenever there's a dramatization of the army, they will have black soldiers in it. Whenever we look at a World War II movie now, it has black soldiers in it. You can hardly call the army racist, and yet that seems to be what's going on here. It seems to be they don't want to be called racist, so they're going to employ a diversity and inclusion officer, and then that gives them proof that they're not racist. I think that's what's at the root of this, Grandpa. It's just them trying to cover their own backs, wouldn't you say?
Well, I would demand a definition in this context of what racist even means. I mean, if the white soldiers choose to sit at one table, and the black soldiers choose to sit at another table, and the Muslim soldiers choose to sit at another table themselves, is that racist? When they go to the cafeteria, they're going to have to serve halal food to the Muslim soldiers. Is that racist because they're being treated differently? I am so wore out with these terms that have no actual definitive meaning. They're just thrown out there and everybody just accepts them like they're legit. But what would racist even mean in the context of the military here? If you go to a prison or anywhere else where people are thrown together, all these different races and things such as this, they will generally on their own congregate with one another. Well, does that get qualified as racist? And what do they mean? Do they mean white soldiers going around and hanging nooses in the black soldiers' bunks or something and calling them names? What the hell does it even mean? It doesn't have a meaning. They throw the term out here and talk about, oh, we're so not racist, as if that's going to stop anything. Because this whole argument of, but we're not racist, we're totally not racist, we're less racist than society, it shows playing from a defensive position. You've accepted the terms and the narrative and the starting point of the people that are pushing this, and you never win because you've accepted it. Well, what the hell does racist even mean? If everybody can do the job, I don't think anybody's going to have a problem with the person next to them. The problem comes up when the people can't do the job. And that's why you have to make up these positions like we're hearing about today.
People naturally separate themselves out like oil and water. You know, you got two different types of liquid. Not all liquids are the same. They separate themselves out. It's just natural that you prefer to be amongst your own people. And it's unnatural to be forced together like this. This is only going to weaken the army. We've got some more quotes from Richard Kemp here. He said, "The soldiers I commanded saw each other as comrades upon whom their lives often depended, and that applies to the Royal Navy and the RAF too. The British Army is about depending on the person next to you. It is about service before self. There is no room for identity politics within that." This is the point here, isn't it? They're pandering to ethnic minorities, gender minorities. They're saying to them that that's more important than anything else. That's more important than being a member of the army. Surely you're supposed to have equality in the army. Everybody is a member of the army. But what they're saying here is that these identity politics, they actually come first. And they're showing how important that is by paying these massive amounts of wages to these diversity and inclusion officers. That is just about increasing more and more of these people within the army. The MOD has a target of increasing the number of black, Asian, and minority ethnic personnel from 8% to 10%. Why? Why does the MOD not have a target of improving the army? Why does it not have a target of getting people with better education, or getting people with a better physique, getting tougher people, getting people that are better at fighting? Why do they want to have more black, Asian, and minority ethnic personnel? And you look at Asians. They're much smaller than white people, aren't they? Much, much smaller. And they have much less body strength, and they have much less testosterone. Why would you think that that would be a good thing in amongst the soldiers to have somebody that doesn't have the body strength? The same goes for females who have a third less upper body strength than males. How is that going to be a good thing in a physical environment such as the army? And if they're going to put all these resources into trying to bring in these people into the army, those resources aren't going to be going on the people that are best suited to actually be in the army. It's just a continual downward spiral. I just don't understand where this fascination for diversity comes from, because it goes totally against all common sense. What do you make of these comments here and the MOD's target of increasing ethnic personnel from 8% to 10%, Grandpa?
Well, I mean, the director or one of these officers of diversity and inclusion are not going to be on the front lines. They're never going to, you know, after basic training, they'll never pick up a rifle again in their entire career. I mean, that's the reality. I really, when you look at these things, I think so much of this too just hones in on it's even beyond race. It's about women. I mean, it really is, because, I mean, if you are on the front line, if you're a grunt on the front line and you're pinned down in a firefight, you know, and your soldier next to you in your unit is Muhammad Akbar or whatever, I mean, he's probably going to fight with you, you know, to get out of there alive. You know, he's going to try to hold up his end of the bargain. But a woman's not going to be able to do that. I mean, she's just not. We know this. I mean, they've tried to, you know, oh, we're going to have women in the Army Rangers. We're going to do this, that. And they always have to lower the standards because they're physically and mentally incapable of doing it. They can't do that. So it really is just about making up these positions. And once again, they're spending all this money, they're spending all these resources on people that are never going to be on the front lines. And if they were on the front lines, they'd never make it. If they could make it on the front lines, they wouldn't be an inclusion and diversity officer. It's just made up. And it's, once again, it shows how unserious we are as a society collapses in the West in general. This isn't about, they don't really think there's going to be any kind of war where they have to use this stuff. If they really, really did, then they wouldn't be squandering this. So they feel like, well, it's never going to happen anyway. We'll just make it a social program. Who cares? And, you know, maybe that's true. Maybe it's not. At the same time, you've got these people going around trying to saber rattle at Russia and at China who do take their military seriously. And you have to think, you know, if things were to spiral out of control in those areas, heaven forbid, you know, they wouldn't fare very well, because they've spent all of their resources, time and training on diversity and inclusion rather than what's supposed to be the mission of the agency itself. And you know, as far as all the ethnic minorities and this and that, I mean, what's the point? If we're all equal, if we're all supposed to be the same, there's no difference, then why are they focused on it? If we're all exactly the same, there's no difference between the races, then they should just, well, the people that want to come in and become soldiers can become soldiers. Those that don't. And that's that. So why are they so focused on this number? It's like some arbitrary thing that has to be reached, and then we can finally find nirvana or some other nonsense.
Well, if you have women there serving in the army, the male instinct is to protect the women. So you're going to have men that are taking extra risks that they wouldn't be taking if they were actually serving alongside men. And if they're taking extra risks, then that means that there's more chance of failure. It's just not an improvement for the army in any way to try and increase the diversity in it. But of course, the top brass, they don't think this. General Sir Nick Carter, Chief of the Defence Staff, previously wrote to every serving member acknowledging that the Black Lives Matter movement had brought racism and discrimination sharply into focus. So here we have the head of the army taking a political position here. Do you know what the excuse is for this political position, Grandpa? They say everybody is against racism, therefore you have to promote Black Lives Matter because they are against racism. Nationalists are against racism, but we have a different way, a different solution to the problem of racism. We have a final solution to the problem of racism, and that is just to separate the different races. Separate them. There would be no more racism ever if you did that. There would be no more oppression. There would be no more discrimination, no more racism whatsoever. Black people would have black police, black judges, black teachers. Jews would have Jewish teachers, Jewish judges, Jewish police. White people would have white police, white judges, white teachers. Everybody would get along. We would be separate, and that would get rid entirely of racism. But nobody will allow us to actually put our views across, and they will tell us that our views are actually racist. How is it racist to want to bring about a complete end to racism just by segregation, when a lot of these organizations, that's what they're calling for anyway? I mean, if you look at Black Lives Matter, they're calling for black police, black teachers. They want more blacks. Well, give them that. Let's give them 100% diversity. Let's have the black communities over there, white communities over here. It would solve all the problems. Yet they won't allow us to say our point of view. And this shows that this Black Lives Matter thing, it is political. It is political because they're only showing one answer to it. They're only showing the left-wing answer to it, and then pretending that that is the only way that racism can be dealt with. And when there are much better ways of dealing with it, much more humane ways of dealing with it, which is the nationalist way. Don't you agree, Grandpa?
Well, I don't know if you should have used the term a final solution to it. We have a final solution.
That wasn't a pun.
I'm triggered. But once again, I'm getting where I'm just every time I see these lies, I just have to stop and say, no, this is a lie. Black Lives Matter has brought racism and discrimination sharply into focus. That is an absolute lie. I mean, they're throwing a BLM riot right now because a black guy with a knife charged police and got shot. And yeah, okay, so what are we saying? If a black person charges you with a knife, you're not allowed to defend yourself, or it's racism and discrimination. They're having another big shindig over it because a guy, a black suspect who was high on PCP, you know, they put a spit bag over his head, which is a approved piece of thing. They put this thing over his head so he can't spit on him, and wound up dying probably from complications of being overdosed on PCP. These drugs will do these things to you, and they're having riots over that. So you're not allowed to arrest high on PCP suspects that are spitting on you or whatever. I mean, it's absolutely a lie. They're bringing racism and discrimination into focus. Well, what racism are we talking about here? I mean, we know at this point that George Floyd died of a drug overdose. He didn't die from having the knee on the neck. I mean, so what exactly are they bringing into focus? The racism and discrimination that if you commit more crimes as a population, you're more likely to go to jail. So what, do we just stop arresting people for crimes? And again, I guess I'm being kind of nitpicky about this, but they set these narratives, and also often we just accept the narrative. And we go with it, and we said, well, okay, but the very foundation that they're giving us to start from is absolutely false. What racism? What discrimination? If a black person wants to go join the Royal Navy, they're not going to tell them, we don't have your kind around here, boy. We don't let blacks in the Navy. Well, that's absurd. Of course they let blacks in the Navy. So there is no racism and discrimination. If a black person wanted to go to apply for the British Royal Navy and they told them they weren't allowed, then that would be racism and discrimination by a definition that everybody, I think, could agree on. But that doesn't take place. So what racism and discrimination are we even talking about here? And when it comes back down to the military, so much of this thing is about the simple fact that women cannot do the things required in the military that a man can do, period. So they have to give them these office jobs, and then they wind up making up a spot for them because they have to be promoted. And well, they can't promote them into doing anything useful because they're incompetent and they're physically incapable of doing those things. So they make up a job like inclusion and diversity officer. Well, once they get that position, they've got to have a staff. So they're going to hire other women and other people that have the same views they do. And you wind up with this complete cluster that you have now. And their answer to it is the same thing. We need more of it. The problem is we don't have enough, because it's obviously what you've got so far is working so well.
I do wonder how many of these diversity inclusion officers are women. I mean, it does seem a job that's just been dreamt up for somebody that is not actually capable of fighting on the field. Well, a ministry spokesman told The Times, "Defence is at its best when it's diverse. Our appointment of these diversity and equality officers shows that we are moving beyond platitudes and putting our words into action." Well, that is a platitude, isn't it? Saying that defence is at its best when it's diverse. Where is the evidence of that? Where is the evidence of an army made up of women, Asians, blacks, and Muslims and homosexuals ever defeated a country anywhere? It's never been known of. It's never been tried. I guess it's because it's never been tried. They're just trying to do something new here. They're just trying to do something novel, I think. That's why they're saying it's best when it's diverse, because nobody's able to actually prove them wrong, because nobody's ever tried such a ridiculous thing before. We've got another quote here from General Sir Nick, Chief of the Defence Staff. He said in July that laddish culture is driving out talented female and minority ethnic personnel from the armed forces. He said such culture needed stamping out, and it was simply unacceptable that they had so far failed to move the dial on the issue. How are women talented to join fighting forces? They're not. Okay, we have weapons, we have guns. They could use guns, but how are they going to carry the ammo around? How are they going to carry the weaponry around? What are they going to do when the gun jams? What are they going to do when they run out of ammo? What are they going to do when it comes to hand-to-hand fighting? Women could be there in a supporting role, of course, but not there at the front. The whole point of the armed forces is to have a military fighting force, not to support a military fighting force. It is just ridiculous. It is just pandering to them. I would be offended if I was a woman, because it's like they're saying, you know, well, do you want to play at being in the army? We'll pretend that you're as good as the men when we know you're not. We'll pretend you are. We'll put in special diversity inclusion officers so that you can get a job in the army. We'll put a diversity quota in there so that you can get a job, and then we'll allow you to pretend that you're as good as the men. Any man would be really offended at that, because men want to succeed on their own merits. And all of this diversity and inclusion stuff, I mean, it is really insulting to the minorities that they claim to be representing. And the fact that these minorities don't stand up and say that, I mean, it really says a lot about them, I think. What are your thoughts on this, Grandpa?
Well, I think when he's talking about the laddish culture here, I think they threw the minority ethnic personnel in there, you know, because it would be too obvious if he just said female, because this is about female. I mean, soldiers of different races serving together are going to do the kind of pranks and the kind of joking and the kind of, you know, for lack of a better term, ass slapping jokes that men do in those sort of situations, whether they're black or brown or whatever. I mean, that's a part of the culture itself, but yet women aren't going to be included in that. So I think he threw that in there as far as the laddish culture, because guys acting like guys is not something that's going to be offensive to men of other races. It's just not. It's only going to be offensive to women, but they threw that in there so it wouldn't look just like these are women. You know, this is about women whining and complaining that they don't fit in. And you see this in microcosms of other things. You know, you'll have an all men's club. There's been an all men's club, gentlemen's place to sit around, have coffee and smoke cigars, whatever the case may be, you know, for 150 years. And they demand, you got to let women in. Then they finally let women in. What do? Well, I don't like it here. All they talk about is man stuff. You know, we need to change it. Y'all need some better curtains, and we need to talk about our feelings. And they immediately start wanting to change it because they don't fit in. They don't get along with that sort of thing. So yeah, in this case, they're throwing the ethnic minority ethnic personnel in there just so it isn't so obvious that what we're talking about here is women. And you talked about the inability, the physical inability, and you're absolutely correct. You know, how can you carry all the ammo? And those things are all right. But the other thing that you get down to it is the mental thing. Like you said, what happens when the gun doesn't jam? You know, it's like Mike Tyson, the Mike Tyson quote, you know, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. You know, everybody has the training, all the training you want, until the bullets are zinging over your head and shit's blowing up around you and you got to think on your feet and there's all this confusion and things. And even men who have trained well and are hardy, strong people have a hard time coping and dealing with this. Women are just absolutely incapable of doing it. And that's fact. I can feel the triggering from here, but it's a realistic fact because they're not wired that way. They're not wired that way. They're not capable of doing these things. And it always ends in a absolute destruction. You look at these instances where they say, oh, look at these police, and they're unable to tackle this guy to the ground. Well, you look and there's like one male cop and two female cops. Well, he's the only one actually doing anything. I mean, the women cops may get in there and try to do something, but it's a joke. It's like little kids running in there and trying. So the guy's doing it by himself. And it's the same with these military units. If you have a unit of five guys and three of them are women, there's two guys that are going to do the actual bulk of the work and the actual bulk of the fighting. The other three are dead weight. And that's the ugly reality that they're trying to distract from.
Well, horseplay and hazing, they're part of the bonding process. So what he's talking about here, laddish culture, you get rid of that. You get rid of the bonding process, which you need in order to function as a group and know that you can rely on people and you can have a bit of a, you know, a bit of a joke about with them. And that's all it is. And yet, of course, if you're a snowflake, which is one of the people they're actually advertising to with the latest Armed Forces adverts, then of course you're going to be offended by that. And who are you going to go to? That's right, the diversity and inclusion officer. So I think these diversity and inclusion officers are going to end up being the most hated men in the army. Well, the comments come after a review last year concluded that the forces were led by a pack of middle-aged white men, resulting in unacceptable levels of bullying, sexism, and racist behavior. Is that not a little bit anti-white to be describing middle-aged white men as a pack? What, like a pack of dogs? Yeah, imagine if you called a pack of black men, a pack of young black men. I mean, they would be complaining that that was negative terminology that has been used here. And why are they picking out the fact that they're white? Aren't we all equal? Does it not matter what race we are? Isn't race supposed to be a social construct? There are so many contradictions in all of this narrative that it just leaves people confused as to what is going on. When giving evidence to the Commons Defence Committee, Sir Nick said, "The thing that I think is really worrying particularly is the culture. What I am looking for is people being judged on their moral courage and their ability to look after the people they have the privilege to command and to lead. If they do that, I think we have got a much better chance of stamping out the laddish and, at often much worse than that, thoroughly unacceptable behaviour. That means that we undoubtedly push some of the really talented female, but also black, Asian and minority ethnic people that we have in the armed forces out after only a few years. It is simply unacceptable that we are not moving the dial on this thing." And this report by Air Marshal Michael Wigston was commissioned after a 17-year-old female soldier was allegedly sexually assaulted by six male personnel. Well, if the 17-year-old female soldier hadn't been there in amongst the male personnel, there would have been no chance of her being assaulted, were there? And you've got an army which are being taught how to kill people, and then at the same time you're telling them that they've got to treat they've got to be with kid gloves with everyone. I'm not excusing the alleged sexual assault here, but it could have just been that she had her ass slapped by some of them, and they were just, you know, monkeying around and trying to treat her as if she was just one of the lads. If you do end up treating these women as just one of the lads, you know, you're going to be accused of all sorts of things. They're not asking for equality here. They are asking for special treatment here. Grandpa, what are your final thoughts on all of this?
Well, I think his quote's telling. He says, quote, "that we undoubtedly push some of the really talented female, but also black, Asian and minority ethnic people." So that's an afterthought, just as we've already alluded to. This is really about women. I've worked IRL, you know, among just about every race of people there probably is on the planet. And working people amongst working people, you listen to this show, you're probably sitting here nodding your head because you have to. And working guys, you know, men working amongst one another can joke around and horseplay or whatever, you know, and kid each other, people that get along and make jokes that, you know, someone from the outside will look at and get offended at and say, "Oh my gosh, that's so racist," but you're just making it back and forth. Nobody actually involved is offended. In fact, I've seen that in real life where people are making, you know, people that bant with one another all of the time of different races, say a black guy and a white guy, and they've always just, you know, given each other hell, you know, and it's all in good sport. And then you have this other person come in from the outside, usually a woman, by the way, who sees this and she throws a big fit and tries to raise a stink. And both of the guys are like, "Hey, chill out. We do this all the time. This is what we do. It's a laddish behavior." But apparently it must be stamped out in the name of diversity and inclusion. And they should have just gone ahead and added feels.
It's just about getting rid of all male behavior, isn't it? It just is stamping out what it means to be a man. And you know, men are different to women. And if you put women in an environment that previously it was all men, it will have a negative effect on that environment. The men will end up fighting for the affections of the woman. And as I pointed out earlier, if you've got women that are in trouble in a combat situation, then that is going to be putting the men at risk, because they will all be trying to rescue this woman instead of trying to attack the enemy and looking out for their own interests. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.